of our praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I don't know about nobody else, but I was blessed in Sunday school.
Yes, yes. Blessed in all of them.
I was blessed in church today.
Yes. Yes.
I expect to be blessed in church tonight.
Amen.
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 Yes. Hallelujah. Did you bring your supply?
Yes, amen.
Did you bring your supply?
Amen.
Then you ought to be expecting to be blessed in church tonight.
Amen.
I want to read over these scriptures, and I'm to bring out a few things where we didn't get a chance to finish the lesson this morning. We may not finish it tonight.
All right.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
don't forget that.
Thank you, Jesus.
This year, see, the Holy Ghost has been poured out since the day of Pentecost.
Yes, amen.
He's not a new thing. He's been around.
Yes, amen.
But this is going to be the year of the Holy Spirit. This is going to be the year of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Hallelujah.
I want to be on the page with him.
Amen.
I want to be in step with him. When he moves, I want to move with him.
Yes, amen.
I want to cooperate with him. Now, that will take some stepping out on our parts. Y'all missed it this morning.
Oh, man, you did.
We had people dancing in the church this morning.
Yes.
For some, it was a big step of faith.
Yes, amen.
But I told Brenda and Lauren Reith and all before church started tonight, before y'all got here, I said there will be little simple commands that the Lord will give me. And as we act on those things, you'll see things start to happen in your lives. I expect things like this to happen. When I get a direction, say, just dance before the Lord. Just pick your feet up. Every one of us in here can do this. Yes. Now, every one of us in here won't do it, but we should do it.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you why we should do it. Because you may be having some trouble in some part of your leg. Whether it be your foot, your ankle, your hip, your thigh, it doesn't matter. Or somewhere else in your body. And through that one little act of faith and that one little act of obedience, you'll tap into the healing power of God.
Yes, amen.
And nobody laid no hand on you. Nobody spoke no word over you. You just were obedient. And other times you see the same thing that go right on over her head. Because a lot of times we think that they're foolish. But did you know that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise?
That's right.
He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And it's a crying shame that where we've developed so much that we've got so proper that we can't even praise the Lord. You know? We don't need to get that proper. There's nothing wrong with being decent and in order. But I tell you one thing, God deserves to be praised.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's see if we can see some things from the Word tonight. Pray with me before I start reading. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling and what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. And what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places. And ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine utterance
yes,
tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father
yes.
to us, your people. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, the last song that we sang was what?
I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place. Now let me ask you a question. What does Jesus feel like?
Peace, gratitude, joy.
Joy.
Peace, love.
And you feel it as soon as you walk in the door.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you.
I feel Jesus in this place.
Hallelujah. Excitement.
So I ask the question. My question is, what does Jesus feel like? I'm getting somewhere in this there question.
Goodness.
All right. What does the Holy Spirit feel like?
Same way.
Because the Holy Spirit is the revealer of Jesus to us. You know, a lot of times in church, when people just believe in Jesus, it's almost like a black and white picture. And there's nothing wrong with a black and white picture. In fact, I like black and white pictures. But the Holy Spirit, when He reveals Jesus to you, He'll put some feeling in Him. He'll put some color in Him. Amen? There's something about the Holy Ghost that we need.
Yes, amen.
Don't forget these words. This is going to be the year of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, hallelujah.
This is going to be the year of the Holy Spirit. Let's cooperate with Him. Because He will take us places that we haven't been before. He will reveal things to us that we haven't seen before. Now, it's not that it's a new thing because they're all written down in the Word. But just because they're written down in the Word doesn't mean that we've seen them. Or that we have experienced them to the extent that He wants us to experience them. Our first text that we had in our lesson today, and turn your Bibles with me if you want, would be the Luke chapter 24, verse number 49. The words of Jesus. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, if you didn't know, you might say, well, what is the promise that he's talking about? The promise is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When did this happen? 2,000 years ago. But he's still pouring out. He's still pouring out to people that will open their hearts to receive him. And there's something that encourages me for people that had already been baptized with the Holy Spirit or infilled with the Holy Spirit. There were many occasions in the book of Acts where they were filled and refilled. You say, well, why do we need to be refilled? Because we leak. Was there a time in your Christian experience that you were more full of Jesus or more full of the Holy Spirit than you are right now? And if you could say, yes, there was. You say, well, why ain't you that full right now? Because we leak. But God's got a remedy for that. In the book of Ephesians, he said, be filled with the Spirit. And in the Greek, it says it like this. Be being filled. Smith Wigglesworth said the only way from slipping back into the natural is to be filled and be filled again.
Yes, amen.
Because the natural, just like you can mow a field off and it'd be pretty. And if you don't keep it mowed, you'll see weeds starting to grow, and then you'll see trees starting to grow. And after a while, it will reclaim itself. And for a person who doesn't take the time to be filled with the Holy Spirit, this natural world will want to reclaim itself. Because why is it? Because we're feeding more on the world than we're feeding on the Spirit. Amen. We need to keep this field mowed. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, he says, behold, look, I send the promise of my Father. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Our next scripture that we have. So this took an act of obedience. And what this act of obedience was doing was positioning those believers so that they could receive. He didn't tell them to go down to Tom's store and sit in the back room. He said, you stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And when he gives a direction of where to do it, how to do it, then that's going to be the method. He's given us some insight of what's going to have to be done in order for this to take place. Holy Spirit is being poured out, but the question is he going to be poured out on you? This could have been one of the things that he said to his disciples. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out. But the ones that are there is going to be the ones that he's poured out on. The ones that have gotten themselves in a position. It weren't just some state of mind. It was a state of location as well as a state of heart. Acts 2 and verse 1. Turn there if you would. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Something had happened. Because a lot of times, have you noticed this when you come to church? We've come from outside and bringing ourselves into one spot. But a lot of times when we come in, we've brought other things with us other than what's focusing on what should be done in this one spot. And what happens is, a lot of times it takes this for people so that they can start praising the Lord. One of the reasons why is because they ain't been praising the Lord. You know, when you've been praising the Lord, that don't take you long to get in the groove with prayer and start praising the Lord. But if you haven't been praising the Lord, you may have to prime the pump. You may have to pump a while before you ever get the water flowing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So, in the days preceding the timing of the Holy Spirit or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they were preparing their hearts. They were getting themselves in a place, not just in location, but they were getting themselves positioned in their hearts through prayer and expectation and believing God. I'm sure that they had questions about what does this promise look like? What's it going to be like? What's it going to feel like? What am I going to experience here when this happened? Because they knew it was going to happen. But why did they know it was going to happen? Because Jesus had promised it. Jesus had promised it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Position. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. You know, Curtis, one of these days I expect to hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind. I have heard about people in different... I heard one man giving a testimony. He said that he was in Brazil, in a stadium. And the people were on their phones and doing everything else during the worship time, and they weren't even plugged in, but they were at a Christian event. And he felt led to exhort the people in a certain way on the fear of the Lord. And when he did, he said it wasn't long after that. He said it was like a wind blowed through that place. The sound of a rushing mighty wind. Because people had got themselves in a position in order to receive. We say, well, why don't God do some things, you know, like that for us?
Yes.
Oh, brothers and sisters, God longs to do things for us. He longs to do things for us. Do we long to position ourselves to receive? See, you can't guilt trip yourself into being in that position. You can only humble yourself and get in that position. You can only repent and get in that position. Amen?
Amen.
And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. Nobody missed out.
That's right.
Nobody, Brenda, in that room missed out that night on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because all had positioned themselves to receive. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit gave the utterance and they spoke. The Holy Spirit gave the utterance and they spoke. The Holy Spirit gave the utterance and they spoke. The Holy Spirit gave the utterance and they spoke.
Yes,
who did the speaking? They did the speaking. What did the Holy Ghost do? He gave the utterance.
Yes, amen.
The Holy Ghost is still giving the utterance.
Yes.
And if there's going to be any speaking, we're going to have you one who speaks. Amen?
Amen.
Now, years later, after this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times when we read in the book of Acts, we think everything that happened happens so consecutively. But they were, it's almost like you could read a chapter a year that something would be taking place. It was stretched out over a period of years, not just a period of days. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't all back to back. When we read it, it's back to back. But there was time frame, there's time that's in here that's filling up some of this space in these chapters. And there was something that was happening. I brought out and shared with them in Sunday school this morning, because everybody, you read in the scriptures there, that everybody took, if they had houses and lands, they took and sold their houses and lands and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So where did they live? It was almost like living in a camp. I don't know just exactly how that it was, but I know that they didn't have their money, because I know that judgment fell on one family because they lied to the apostles and to the Holy Ghost, because they sold their piece of property and said, we're going to be smarter than everybody else. What we're going to do, we're going to bring part of this money and we're going to keep part of this money back. But we're going to tell them we sold it for this amount. And when they brought the money and they laid it down before the apostles' feet, they're asked this question, said, why have you let this iniquity enter into your heart? That was your land. You could have done with it what you wanted to. But here they are lying about that they sold it for this amount. They wanted to show that they blended in, but they wanted to keep some for themselves. Everybody else sold it and brought it, laid it before the apostles' feet. Judgment fell on that man. A few hours later, his wife comes in. She doesn't know about this that's happened with her husband. Said, did you sell a piece of land? Said, we sold it for so and so amount. So they had developed their lie together. See, brothers and sisters, there's something that we need to catch out of this. And we need to be honest before God. And Peter said, it's not me that you're lying to. It's the Holy Ghost that you're lying to. And judgment fell on her also. And there was a great fear that went all over that whole community. That's not in our text. But through the selling of everything and everything becoming common for everybody, what was happening then, the Hellenistic Jews or the Grecian Jews, it's talking about the same thing, they felt like they were being neglected in their daily ministration. Now, their daily ministration was food coming to them. And when your belly gets pinching, or you feel like that your neighbor's getting something that you're not getting, a lot of times this here starts to happen. So they started to happen. There started to be a murmuring that was in the camp. And the apostles, by the wisdom of God and by the working of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is wisdom. He doesn't just have wisdom. He is wisdom. He's the power of God. He's the wisdom of God. He's the agency of God that's at work on the earth today. That's why we need him. So, these are men that are giving themselves to the Word of God and to prayer. So they're plugged into the flow of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit starts giving them direction on how to handle this thing. Because, see, brothers and sisters, for every problem that there is, the Holy Ghost has got a remedy. He's got a fix. He knows what it is. So, they take, let me read just a little bit further now. In verse number 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. Among who? Among you or among us. Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint to this business. Now this was part of the business side of the church that needed to be taken care of. Now, it wouldn't be a big, and I shared with in Sunday school this morning, I shared it sort of like this. I said, Rip's my man. He's my buddy. So, we've got fish today. And I say to Rip, here, take two fish today. And what happened when I gave Rick two fish, Curtis didn't get no fish. What do you need men of a good report? Men that are honorable. Men that will fill their position and do their job well and take care of the business of God. Because when the business of God is served out of favoritism, then this one here is blessed. Not only is he blessed, he's overblessed. Not only has he got one fish, he's got two fish to eat, but this one's going hungry. Well, it don't matter until it's your plate don't have nothing on it. Then it becomes a big deal. Amen?
That's right.
I ain't getting nothing to eat today. I sold all of my house. Sold all of my land. Can't even get a fish to eat. And it starts doing right this here. And this here starts causing division in the house. Why do we need the work of the Holy Spirit? To be able to take care of the business of God, settle everything down, take care of things in order. These here men were full of a good report. They were honest. but they're also full of the Holy Ghost. Because no matter what office or position that a person stands in, we need the Holy Ghost, the wisdom of God, in order to fulfill that spot. Amen? Amen. And to do it well. And I believe these men do it well because you never hear it mentioned again. Amen? You never hear about these here women, these here widows talking about being neglected again. Never. But notice these qualifications again. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And you might find people that get born again. And sometimes you might say, well, they're some of the stupidest people. Or they're ignorant. They don't know things. But I'm going to tell you what. If somebody, no matter what their intellect is, if they will stay around the things of God, he will rub some smart off on them. He will. Brother Hagin said one of the most amazing miracles that he ever saw was this girl that was in a church, and she was about 18 years of age, but she had the mentality of probably a 2-year-old. Said she would get down on the floor and she would crawl, and she would crawl underneath of the benches. She was a grown woman, and she would get up, and if her mama was up here at the front, she was in the back, she would walk across the stack of the chairs. She would turn her legs up like this right here, because she's just like a woman, you know, just like a child. He said, but one night she came up to the altar and she gave her heart to the Lord. And when she gave her heart to the Lord, there was something that changed. He said the next service that she was in, her hair was combed and she was sitting beside her mother. A little bit later, she went to an aunt's house that was out in the country. She met this young man who went off into the army. Her aunt taught her to read and write, and she wrote letters to her boyfriend. When he came back from the war, he had started a construction business. She helped him with the construction business. He got killed in an accident. She kept the construction business going. She built all kind of places that in their town. This was a girl that had the mentality of a 2-year-old.
Hallelujah, God
can
do anything.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's not a strange thing for God to help a person in their intellect. So don't never think that you're beyond help. We're only beyond help if we're beyond yielding. Once this young woman yielded to the power of God, the power of God intercepted her, took a hold right where she was at, and brought her right on up. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a good God. But we will give ourselves. Now, notice this here, what the apostles said. There was a job description for the deacons taking care of the business of the church right here, or the business that was taking place. Their purpose, their sole purpose, it seems like at that particular time, was just waiting on the tables, making sure everybody had food to eat. You know how grumpy you can get when you ain't got nothing to eat. They weren't no different in Jerusalem. All they were was hungry religious people. And it's amazing that how when you get hungry, your flesh kicks in even stronger and you get right ill. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, amen.
You know, sort of like the man said about it. He said that the woman thought that she was so holy. She fell on her back and she felt these things and she thought they was wings. Come to find out they weren't nothing but shoulder blades. the apostle said this, but we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now I want you to notice a difference of operation and a difference of administration. The apostles saw the position, the call of God that was on their life. And they didn't look at the deacons to say, I ain't waiting on no table. We're going to give ourselves to a higher thing of the ministry of prayer and the word. That wasn't the attitude. It wasn't no cocky attitude. There was a servant attitude. Because just as they were serving the spiritual table, the deacons were serving the natural table. Who got the greatest reward? The one that got the greatest reward was the one that was fulfilling the will of God for their life. And that was both offices. Because both offices were necessary. Both offices, because God didn't just save your spirit. He saved your soul and he saved your body. And these here people needed to be taken care of. Amen? God sees all of that. He understands all of that. But here they saw their ministry. And what happens a lot of times, and we get in judgmental ideas because this person is not doing this, and I feel like they ought to be doing that. Well, what did God call them to do? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask a deeper question. What did God call you to do? That's a better question. A lot of times we want somebody else to clean their fish, and we're not cleaning our own fish. We want somebody else to clean out their closet, and we're not cleaning our own closet. What is God asking of us? This is one of the questions where I ask, what's your supply? Bring it. See, in order to bring your supply, you've got to know what your supply is. The only way you're going to know what your supply is to be spending some time in the presence of God.
Amen.
And once you start finding, you start spending time in the presence of God, that will rub off on you. And you'll see. And then you'll bring it. Because it's important that we bring it. So, there wasn't one that was greater because both were serving in the capacity that God had called them to. See, the whole kingdom is about service. The kingdom of God is a service company. He wants people's needs to be met. And many times the way that the need will be met is by us filling that spot. Bringing our supply. So, the apostles said, we're going to stay in our lane. And our lane is this. We're going to give ourselves to the word and to prayer. So that when we come together, and we meet together, we'll have something to bring. That's why God said through the Holy Ghost, choose you out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost, of a good report and wisdom. Because they'll know how to do this thing. Look at our next scripture. I say look at it for y'all, but I got to tell you where it's at so you can see it. Look at 1 Timothy 3:13. Did I say 2 Timothy or 1st?
First.
Okay. Talking about the office of a deacon. For they shall be used, for they that have used the office of a deacon, well purchased for themselves a good degree and great boldness in faith, which is in Christ Jesus. See, brothers and sisters, for anybody to be in any office, there needs to be a desire to do something for God. When you put a person in a place that don't really want to be there, they're not going to put their whole heart into it. But he says right here, he says, they purchased for themselves a good degree and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And look at 2 Timothy 4 and 5. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, or endure hardships. Do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, this is not just for a deacon. This was talking to Timothy, because Timothy, in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul was writing to him and was an encouraging him. Because when you're under hardships, they have a way of draining the life out of you. And a lot of times you may ask the question, well, where is God? Here I am walking through this thing all by myself. Because there were a lot of his church were to defect him, and they were leaving because of persecution. So he encourages him with these words. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction. There are going to be things that you have to face in life. Persecution is what he was talking about. Do the work of evangelists, because evangelism needs to take place. What is evangelism? Getting the word out so that people can get in. Getting the word out so that people can get into the kingdom of God. Telling them the good news. Make full proof of thy ministry. I'm in a unique position right now. And there's times that I meet truck drivers from all over the United States. Some of them come there and they can't hardly speak a word of English because they're from somewhere like Ukraine or some other country that have come here. They can drive a truck, but they can't talk no English. But I had a chance this week to talk to one that was, I didn't know, when he came there, I didn't have no clue, because you look at people and try to case them out to see what origin and all that they are. Well, after a bit, we were talking, and I asked him, I said, what ethnic group do you come from? And he said, my people's Puerto Rican. And he said, my grandfather came to this country with nothing. Worked hard. He said, my mom and daddy, they had stepped up a little bit from where their parents had when they came here. He said, they got us out of the ghetto. He said, now I was raised up in a private school, 25 years old. And we were talking about different things. And come to find out, in the long and short of the conversation, that he was a Christian. And we started to leave on this note right here. We talked for a while. And he was going to his truck, and I was going back here to my forklift. And he said, I'll pray for you. And I said, good. So I was on my way to the forklift, and I felt led. I said, you're to pray for him. So when I was coming up, there was something that he needed to tell me. So he stops his truck, and he gets out, and he walks over toward me. And when he does, I knew it's the right time. So he told me what he needed to tell me. I said, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. Pull my toboggan off of my head. I take him by the hand. And I start praying things for him. And he said, two nights ago, He said, I was hearing his truck. And I was telling the Lord that he wanted him to be the first place in my life. Or I was telling him I wanted him to be the first place in my life. And he was getting more serious about God. And he said, here you are, praying for me. He said, God sent somebody. He sent me here. I cannot tell you the different people that I have had occasion to pray for. To lead to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is why it is so important for us to come together, to be strengthened, to be encouraged. This is why we need these offices filled. The Holy Spirit needs to be at work. I told him, because he was telling me about different political things and stuff like this. And there was a stance that he was taking as a 25-year-old man. I said, you like a breath of fresh air. You ain't talking some of this other ignorant stuff that you hear a lot of adults talking that don't know the difference between right and wrong. They'd rather go at a party than they had to use their brain to think an intelligent thought. There's something wrong with that picture. We as adults should be able to think. One of the things that they said about these here deacons when they were chosen for the office, they were honest, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of wisdom. Wisdom makes a person look good. Whether you're 25, 35, 45, 55, 105. It doesn't matter. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the difference between right and wrong. Able to think an intelligent thought. And an intelligent thought is one that's based on the Word of God. Amen. Based on the truth of God's Word. Amen? So, in these here different ministries, now I want you to notice something. Go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. This is pretty amazing to me. This is some of us. There's a picture of us right here in these here verses. We need to catch it. Then, chapter 8, verse number 5. Then Philip went down through the city of Samaria to preach Christ unto them. Now, who is Philip? Philip is one of these seven deacons that's being called out. Now, I thought his job was waiting on tables. What in the world is he doing down here in Samaria preaching? Because this right here, your faithfulness in one position may set you in position to be advanced to another place. Amen. Where you start out with in your walk with the Lord, if you're faithful, is not where you will end up. Amen. Let me say that again. Where you start out, if you're faithful, is not where you will end up. Even if it's in the same exact office, There will be promotions that come your way that elevate you to a place where God is shining His favor on your life. Amen. And through the faithfulness of Philip, God says, I can use him. I can use him because he will listen to me. Yes. Who's he? You say, well, he's listening to God. Let me tell you something. He's listening to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the agency of God at work. Because He was outpoured on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And He's still outpoured today. Amen. Because Jesus hasn't returned. We're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the time of the Holy Spirit, and we're in the year of the Holy Spirit. So raise your expectors up. You be like that Martian that used to come on television, and you pop your little antennas up out of your head, and you start listening for what the Holy Ghost has to say. Amen? And when we put our Holy Ghost antennas out, and we start listening to what the Holy Ghost has to say, He will give us directions. And here the direction was, Philip, go down to Samaria. Well, Lord, I ain't supposed to go down to Samaria. I'm supposed to be waiting on tables in Jerusalem. He said, you just missed your whole direction because it was a prompting on the inside. Go down to Samaria. Go down to Samaria. But I don't want to do this. Go down to Samaria. And God's he's having to get behind us and shove us to get us to a place where He ought to be able to just touch us on the inside and we would respond to it. Amen?
We should be willing to do whatever He asked us to do.
Hallelujah. That's exactly what I just said. Did you catch it?
Yes, and I wrote it.
That's exactly what we needed. That's it. Say, Lord, that's my heart. Whatever you want done, I'm willing to do it. See, that's what a servant is. It's a choosy, snobby old son that wants to do this right here. I ain't doing that. Get somebody else to do it. It ain't important to you. But here's the thing. It's important to God.
Amen.
And when it's important to God, it's important to me. That should be my attitude. When this is important to God, it's important to me. So I position myself. And any other time that I'm not doing that, I'm in a place of rebellion. And God is not pleased with it. So, Philip finds himself. He went down to the city of Samaria. Why do you think he went to the city of Samaria? Because the Holy Ghost is saying, hey, Phil, I need you. Go down to Samaria. And so, I just feel being led. Holly had her rope last year. And let me use that cord. Kermit Curtis, I get to play the part of the Holy Ghost tonight. Curtis gets to play the part of Philip. And while he's fellowshipping with me, because he can't fellowship with Jesus without fellowshipping with me. Because he's come to reveal the Word, he's come to reveal Jesus. So, while he's fellowshipping with me, he feels led that he should go down to Samaria. Not Samaria, Lord. That's where them half-breed people is. They ain't the real deal. They just park. He said, I need you to go down to Samaria. So he feels led to go down to Samaria. Now, hold on to your leading. And now, he's catching the heart of God. He's catching the mission of God. He's catching the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he preached Christ unto them. Why did he preach Christ to them? Just as Jesus was standing on the mountain and looking down at Jerusalem, and he wept because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. He looks down at those people in Samaria and he sees them like lost sheep without a shepherd. They need to hear the good news. I told Sandy the other morning, because what I had said, I had changed it up just a little bit when I came in the room and I said, I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. And I say, I'm redeemed. She said, what you mean redeemed? And I said this. I said, I was in a bad way. I was separated from God. And Jesus called me. And he said, David. He said, David. And I said, yes, Lord. And he came to where I was. And he brought me out of that horrible place. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what it is that you're dealing with, but anything that's separating you from God is a horrible place. And when I said, I had never said it like that before. When I said, David, David, there was tears that started to come to my eyes. I just started to almost cry because of the goodness of God. That somebody like me, he came and found me. He came and found me. Why did he send Philip to Samaria? Because he saw them as people that needed a Savior. Amen. And he had one man that he could count on for the job. Well, I thought his job was waiting on tables. His job was waiting on the Lord. Because if you practice waiting on the Lord while you're waiting on tables, he's preparing you for what you need to do. But a lot of times we get so caught up in this that we forget about that. So Philip starts to preach Jesus to them. And the people with one accord. Now this amazed me, Bet, when I saw this again. See, there was something about the one accord when they were in the upper room. But there was something about Samaria when they were in the one accord. See, when we get on the page with God, there's some phenomenal things that can take place. That's when everybody forgets about their page and gets on God's page. That we're all playing the same note. The A chord. What chord is that? It's the A chord. The A chord. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake. Now, Philip was obedient to the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice something else about the people. Because this is just as important as it is on the other side of this. Because these people were there like this. Anybody catching what I'm saying? They were tuned in to what he was saying because he was sharing the words of life. See, there's something here that we need to recognize as a church. You say, well, David, that's your job to bring the word of God. But I want you to tell you something else in your supply. Your job is to pull it out of me. Have you ever seen that about your position? Your job, part of it, is to pull it out of me. Because when a person is being received, it increases the flow. And there's no telling what the Holy Ghost can say when we're yielding to what he wants done. So the people there were all ears. And God met them, not only hearing what he had to say, but hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. I expect, and I'm telling you, I'm prophesying, I'm speaking some things out. I expect to see healings and miracles.
Yes, hallelujah.
On a higher level in this church.
Amen.
I expect it.
Amen.
I expect it. Do you expect it?
Yes, amen.
Pull on it. Pull on it. Pull on it. Not just me. Pull on the gift. Pull on the gift. Who's the gift? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the gift. Four unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed. People set free by the power of God. Many that were taken with palsies, that were lame, were healed. Many with palsies and lame were healed. And great joy was in that city. Great joy was in that city. You know why? They had had a visitation of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
They had a visitation of the Holy Ghost. But how did he come? He come riding in on Philip. See yourself in that position. When you come to church, Holy Ghost might become riding in on you. I'm bringing my supply. I'm bringing it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let that be your heart and your attitude. Take some time before him to bring. Because when you bring something, you'll receive something.
Yes, amen.
Now notice this last scripture, last text. And as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Why did the Holy Ghost say? Because they took the time to minister to the Lord.
Yes.
Phenomenal things can happen when we take the time to minister to the Lord.
Yes.
So many times what we're caught up in prayer is we want the Lord to minister to us. It's become all about us. That is a selfish religion. And it's watered the Word of God down to just a selfish gospel. Because this gospel is not just about us. It involves us, but it's not just about us. They took time to pray and to fast, and they ministered not to themselves. What can I get out of this deal? They took the time to minister to the Lord, to get the focus on what the focus should be on. And the Holy Ghost, same Holy Ghost, same promise of the Father, said. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They got a supernatural word for a supernatural ministry.
Yes, amen.
That this was God's idea. This was his plan. This is something that he wanted done. Would we be people like Isaiah? Here I am, Lord, use me. Now, one of the ways that positions us to be used in that is through prayer, fasting, seeking him, seeking his will, seeking his desire. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Their goal was not just right here. Their goal was out here. Now, the same leading that led Philip to Samaria was the same leading that led these men to prayer and fasting and seeking the face of God and ministering to the Lord. And it's the same leading of the Holy Spirit that's now going to be leading Paul and Barnabas to the ministry that God's called them to walk in. I won't get in it right now, but later on there's a falling out between Paul and Barnabas. Saul comes into the picture. Silas. Silas comes into the picture. Why does he come into the picture? Because I'm going to tell you what, if one won't take the reign in the place that God's got to call, he'll call somebody else. Because this work is going to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things that God wants accomplished. But I'm going to tell you what, he needs you. He wants you. Will you wait on the table for him?
Yes.
Will you minister to the Lord for him?
Yes.
Will you minister to him in prayer and fasting? Will you minister to him in studying the Word and seeking his face?
Yes.
And as we do, there's things that he will reveal to us. That sets us in a position for him to be able to lead us. Because he's been trying to lead us all along. But a lot of times we like the old nullified cow. I started to say cow. I don't know how nullified cows are. I know sometimes they can be stubborn. But it's easy to leave something when it'll follow. But it ain't easy to leave something when they're dragging their feet.
Amen.
Let's purpose in our hearts, I'm not going to drag my feet. My feet are like this.
That's amen.
See, that's one of the things you this morning, you think, a lot of times you think, you know, I ain't got to do that. And the truth of the matter is, no, you don't have to do that. You get to do that. Because what you'll find out is that little teeny act of step of faith will set you free from something that was taking and holding you back.
Amen.
See, there was a day I wouldn't do this. I don't care. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, you look like you lost your mind. Yeah, I got the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand with me. Father, your word is honorable. Your word is honorable. Your word is true. And when you look at us, you just look at the best life for us. A life that is tapped into the flow of God. A life that is tapped into the flow of the Holy Spirit. A life that is listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Well, the old Holy Spirit is orchestrating. Here I am, Lord. Use me. My will is to do your will. That's all the will I've got, is to do your will. I put everything else on a back shelf. My will is to do your will. My happy place is to do what you want me to do. That's my happy place. That is all I want to be, is in that happy place. I plead the blood of Jesus over us as we go. I ask that you'd station your angels round about us. I thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus that's washing things away from our minds and our hearts that have held us in a place of resistance. Not meaning to, but just in a place of resistance because we're failing to step out. Say that about yourself. That's changing in me tonight.
That's changing in me tonight.
My will is to do your will.
My will is to do your will.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Raise a hallelujah.